And so we're in the third week of our series about why we gather. And we're going to be doing it a little bit differently this week. And I'll explain how in a second. We've been discovering, hey, what is the purpose of why we do what we do on a Sunday morning? Why do we gather and serve? Why do we, last week is why do we preach this word? Why do we preach consistently from this word? And this week we're talking about, hey, why do we sing? Why do we do what we just did? Because there's a certain component that matters in our singing, because God has created us as human beings, and that when we sing, there's something that resonates in our hearts, in our image-bearing design that God has created us in. And if you don't believe me that we are all connected to song, then you wouldn't believe these numbers about how we worship through song in many different ways. Any Taylor Swift fans in here? Any Swifties? All right, there we got some. We got some yelling out here. Guess how much money Taylor Swift's most current Eras tour has brought in? $1.4 billion. You know, the highest ticket price someone's paid? $89,000. I know a few friends that have paid a good chunk of money, but and why is it? Her songs are catchy, right? We resonate, some of us resonate with her songs. And for all the older generation out there, the second highest grossing tour is Elton John, $853 million. Ed Sheeran, U2 are slightly behind that. But why? Because we love singing. It's something in us, when we hear a song, we connect deep in our spirits because God has created us with song and to connect differently through song. And so there's a purpose in why we sing. And here's the question. Who and what are we singing to? Who and what are we singing to? And so I want to share from Ephesians 5, 18 through 21, and then I'll share how we're switching up the narrative this morning and as we discuss this topic. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21 says this, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." See, what Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus is this idea that as an individual and a church family, he wants us to walk in the newness of life he's created us in. And in that walk, we are called to walk in love and to be filled with the Spirit. And here's how he's saying it should overflow with us in song, in hymns, in psalms, and melody to the Lord. And why should we be singing that way? Because of his grace, his mercy, because of what Jesus has done and the story we've been welcomed into, because of the realities of the gospel. Our hearts, our affections are wanting to flow that way. And what Paul is saying is, this is how it ekes out of us. So here's what I would like to do today. We're gonna be doing something, and I think we got the chairs coming out sometime soon. We're gonna be doing a discussion today. We're gonna be doing a discussion with members of our worship team and Muscles McGee over here. I don't know why I said that. That's just weird. Kyle Guyman. Our UB worship director, who's been with us on the team for 4 years, and Adrienne Miller, who's been faithful for 15 plus years in 19 different hats over that time, 19 different hats. We're going to be discussing and having a panel to discuss, hey, why do we sing? And so I'll be asking a few questions of them during this time, and just listen in, because I think the reason why I love them is because they love singing, but they love who they're singing to. And so I just want to, and so I'm excited for us to do this morning, so I will sit down and do my old man groan.
Nice.
No, but before I start, again, I just shared about them. I'm so thankful for this whole worship team that faithfully serves week in, week out. The AV team that makes an experience where we can just glorify God possible. And they come at, 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings, Thursday nights you practice. There's a lot that goes into why we sing. And we have a faithful team of blessed individuals who have giftedness. See, that gene skipped me in the gene pool. I have zero musical ability, but they do, and we thank God for them. But they're also passionate very much to see Jesus glorified. So I'm grateful for you both. And so we're going to talk about why we sing. And so I'll tee up the first question that I know we've discussed. And so what, from your perspective and from what Scripture says, what's the importance of why we sing, both individually and in body? And just talk to us about what Scripture specifically says about this.
Adrian first.
Yeah.
Because I'm a lady.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to speak to first is just the importance of singing secularly. If you do a quick, easy Google search on the effects of music, you will find the impacts on your brain and your overall body system. I found that it reduces anxiety, blood pressure, pain. It improves your mood, your memory, and your mental alertness. And then if you refine that search a little bit more and make it, what are the effects of singing, like actually engaging in the music? It goes on to talk about, in various studies, these are out of Johns Hopkins and University of Melbourne. I mean, these are like well-respected entities. Yes. Talks about the dopamine, endorphins, and oxytocin that are released when we engage in singing. And that these things, again, reduce stress and anxiety. They increase social bonding and empathy. And so just the power of singing and music alone is written in, it's studied in science. It's how God designed it to be, and it's just them explaining what it is. Now, just imagine when you take all of that and you turn that towards your Creator, to where who you're singing about and what you're saying about Him is actually honoring to Him, lifting Him, and in the process, lifting you as well. It's powerful. Scripture says in Psalm 119 to hide His word in our hearts. Mm-hmm. In Proverbs 4:23, it says to guard our heart because it's the wellspring of life. And then in Luke 6 and in Matthew 12, Jesus is talking and He says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm. So you take this incredibly effective tool of music and you plant truth in your heart about who He is, and it becomes really important individually, but corporately.
So we didn't talk beforehand. We probably should have, because I did a lot of the same research secularly. So we're both nerds.
That's right.
When it comes to science. Yeah. So I thought the coolest thing that I was studying was specifically to like group singing and the importance that has and the impact that it has on us physically and physiologically. And so Adrian mentioned it, but when we sing as a group, our bodies release oxytocin, which is like the love hormone, but it's also where empathy comes from, compassion, a sense of belonging comes from that hormone. And so how cool is that when we gather, that we feel that it's a unifying hormone that God has designed to make us feel a certain way. I think that's bizarre. It's crazy. It's so crazy. And I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. So think about in your life the times that you sing with other people. Birthdays is one that jumps out for me. We all sing, we all know the happy birthday song. Is it anybody's birthday today? I'm just kidding.
Please no.
Yeah, okay.
Please. Really?
No. Derailed. But it's a sense of belonging with our family, friends as we sing birthday. Think of like road trips. Like roll the window down, crank the radio, let's sing at the top of our lungs, we're on vacation, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, oh, there's a lot of joy that comes when we sing together, and it makes us feel like we belong, and that is totally God-designed, totally. It's so clear to see that, but that's from the secular side of things.
Yeah, and one of the things I love is when I come in on Sunday morning, and I love, and you often see me looking back just to watch, and it's not creepy, I promise. But I love watching us both like me personally singing. I don't sing well, but I sing probably loud, and I love raising my hands as an individual just because it's just a posture. But also when I look back, I'm just loving this idea of us singing together. It's almost like this one voice, this one funnel, this one moment where we just celebrate the God of the universe that we get the privilege to sing to. And so there's just something that God has innately put in us to worship. And it goes back to that question, are we worshiping rightly? And so it kind of tees up that question of scripturally, because it's littered throughout scripture about singing, right? Yeah. And what would you say to that, Kyle?
Yeah, there's 400 indirect references to singing in scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. 400 references to singing. It's crazy. And then there's about 50 direct commands from God to sing, that we should sing throughout scripture. And that's pretty amazing. So it is, singing and music is talked about from cover to cover. I think about Moses and his wife Miriam when they...
Sister.
Oops. Wow. That's awkward. Have I thought that this whole time?
Hey, it's accountability. We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Proceed.
Yeah, Moses and his sister Miriam. This is really weird. Back on track, Kyle. Okay, so when God delivered his people, the Israelites, through the Red Sea, he split the waters, and God's people walked on dry land, and then the Egyptians were chasing after them, and God closed the waters, and it destroyed their enemies. And so the first thing that they did, which is actually the first song ever recorded in Scripture, was Miriam. She grabbed a tambourine, and she took people with her, and they started singing praises to God about how victorious he is and how great he is. And then there's countless stories in the Bible about singing and how good it is. New Testament as well.
Yeah, you've got David, all of his psalms. Psalm is another word for song. These are all songs.
Entire book.
You've got Mary, after she receives the prophecy that she will be with child, she sings a song of worship. So you have it modeled. You have it also in Zephaniah 3, where God says that he rejoices over us. He delights over us with singing. So our creator himself sings, and we're modeled in his image. And so we are created to sing. And I think of the picture of the throne room in Isaiah, where you have the angels that are calling back and forth to one another, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And I think on a Sunday morning, we get a chance to join in that throne room experience, where from the stage, we're calling out, "Holy, holy, holy," and you're crying back, "Holy, holy, holy." And together, we are lifting his name and lifting who he is, reminding ourselves who he is, and joining in unity. In Ephesians, it says to be unified in the Spirit. And singing is part of what unifies us, as what Kyle said, and we're supposed to be drawn together. It's the enemy that wants us to be isolated. Just in general. And so singing draws us together.
Yeah, that's good. And singing oftentimes elicits emotion, right? Emotion is there's an aspect of our humanity that we have emotions. God has given them to us, not as dictators, but as indicators of our heart. And sometimes there's a disconnect that can happen if we're not careful, because we are emotional beings, and God has created us with emotions. So from your perspective, Kyle, can you share the importance of emotions within our singing, and also some dangers that can arise when we go strictly by emotion within our singing?
Yeah. It's a great question. I think we've all noticed that the world says that emotions determine truth. Maybe you've seen that. But we know scripturally that this is truth.
This is truth.
And so if we hold fast to what God says, emotions follow that. Mm. So truth and then emotions come. And there's beauty in that. There's structure in that. And I could talk about this all day, because I love this conversation of talking about emotions. Probably because I'm just an emotional person. I cry all the time on Sundays. Y'all probably have realized that. But emotions, I think, are like the color to the world. It's when it's grounded in truth, it brings color to life. Can you imagine a world without emotions? Like how boring, stale, and like artificial that would be. But emotions bring color and life and beauty to the world. Even like the more like hard emotions, like the sorrow and sadness, like that's still color in our world. And I just think that when we're talking about art, so let's just like remove ourselves from, well, no, let's broaden our scope, not just singing, but let's talk about art in general, which is a God-given thing. Our God is a creator. He is the ultimate creator. So in us is this desire to create and to love art. And so when it comes to singing, music, instruments, when it comes to graphic design and fonts, or when it comes to the lights or dancing, or all of this is to, art can express emotion and evoke emotion. It goes hand in hand. So we can use art to express our love and our heart to God, but art can also evoke that out of us too, and make us feel something. And before I stop talking, I want to speak to emotions in the church for a second. Whether it be because vulnerability in expressing emotions is hard, or maybe you've experienced some kind of emotional manipulation, we in the church have become so cautious and skeptical of emotions in our gathering that I believe we are robbing ourselves of deeper intimacy with God and each other. So art should be celebrated. We should embrace the emotions as long as we are founded on the truth and let it come.
Yeah. I'd love to add to that of kind of going back to the secular scientific idea of those hormones released, the dopamine, the endorphins, the oxytocin. All of these are actual chemical transmitters in your body. And we can read scripture all day long and it can stay right here. When you engage the Lord with music, it allows your soul to open. It creates this holistic mind and heart engagement in worship. The soul is defined as being your emotion, your will, and your intellect. And so I agree with Kyle, we've kind of restricted emotions because of how much the world has embraced them. But when we take them completely out of worship, we're actually missing a whole body connection to the Lord. And so I think emotion should be engaged, and I think music naturally draws that out of us. You'll hear a song, and it'll remind you of a memory. I mean, we all know that. Like, certain songs take us straight back to childhood or high school, like we were talking the other day in your office about, you know, different songs that come straight back to you. But that emotion is important. But however, when the window of your soul is opened, what are you letting in? Is it truth? Is it angst? Is it angry? Is it all about me, me, me? What is it that you're letting in? And so when we have a chance on Sunday to worship and our souls are open, we are implanting that truth. It's the chance where we take scripture and we implant it into our hearts. And so that emotion has to be guided by the truth.
Yeah, that's good. One of the things I wanted to share is about 18 months ago, I had a mentor of mine. I was just running really fast in life and probably getting a little tired. If you get to know me, I'm not this crazy high guy, and I'm not this low. I'm kind of this even keel. And because of that, I can often not emote at all in a lot of ways. And my mentor was saying to me, hey, just one thing I want to put before you. I'm hearing a whole bunch of stuff, but how often do you include the Psalms in your daily time with the Lord? How often do you just spend time there? Because since I've been doing that, it's allowed me to embrace what David had written and other writers had written, about just the immense emotion and just the jubilation that David is experiencing, but also the deep other feelings of lament or in questioning. And what it has done to me personally has allowed me to see a new window into my relationship with God, and also just to sift my heart about the things that aren't Him and are worshiping other things. And it's just been a beautiful, because again, the Psalms are songs. They're discussions between David and the writers and God, and it just has allowed me to tap into it in a way that has brought new life to in my understanding and my relationship with God. But Kyle, you were going to mention something else.
Yeah. That's so good. I love the vulnerability that David has in the Psalms. There's a book that I want to tell you guys about by a pastor named Paul David Tripp. And he wrote this book called Awe, A-W-E. And the premise of this book is that there are moments in our life and things that make us go, wow. So maybe you like go hiking in a national park or at the Grand Canyon, you think, wow, this is amazing. Wow. It leaves you in awe. I use this example in the first service that, like, maybe you're eating a good bowl of ice cream and you're like, wow, this is amazing.
It's true.
I tell my friends all the time, I think I worship God harder when I'm eating than when I, like, here on Sunday. Just, wow, God, taste buds. Oh, my goodness, you're so cool. So cool. It's cool. He's a great God, y'all. He's a great God. I'm missing my point here. The whole premise of this book is that there are things in creation that make us go, wow. And if we don't accredit that back to the Creator and let it point us to the one who is infinitely more beautiful, God, the Creator of all things, then we're missing it. And so it talks about like making it a discipline in your life that when you see things or when you experience things that make you go, oh my goodness, this is amazing, to point it back to the Creator of it all. It's so important that we are cautious of what we're listening to, letting in. Like, we know that, but I'm a big fan of concerts, like secular concerts. Love them. I've gone to a lot. I would never spend that much on a Taylor Swift
89
concert.
Grand. I'm still shocked.
I don't have that. I'm in ministry. there are these concerts that I go to, and maybe the rest of the people there who aren't followers of Jesus are worshiping the talent of the artist. But me, when I hear the creativity of another artist, even if they're not a follower of Jesus, I think, wow, that is some talent. God, that is a God-given talent. I wish they knew you. But wow, God, you are an amazing God. And so I think when we have eyes to see the beauty in the world and accredit it back to God, that is worship. That is worship.
That's good.
Yeah.
And so bringing it down to us as we gather on a Sunday morning, Kyle and Adrian, you have experience here too, is how do we go picking songs that we sing as a corporate body? Because there's songs that we sing outside of here that are more individualistic and more personal, which is great. But as we gather on a Sunday morning, there's an aspect of corporate worship that we need to be aware of. And so share with us, hey, how do you go about picking the songs that you do, and then speaking into how those songs really form us and as individuals, as a corporate body, and even inform us, our families as we worship. So speaking to that.
Yeah. So what's crazy is that all of us, me included, maybe not all of us, but a lot of people nowadays spend more time listening to worship music, whether like in your car when you're driving or at home or at work. We spend more time listening to worship music than we do reading scripture. And that's okay if the songs we're listening to are scripture. And so I spend a lot of time in prayer. I get a lot of requests too. We all have like preferences and songs that we love, but I always come back to prayer. Like, God, you need to show me, and I need to seek you to know what we need to sing as a body here. As a collective whole, God, what do you want us to sing to you? A lot of the times it's songs that are unifying. For an example, you may have noticed that we've been, well, the songs that I've been introducing a lot lately have talked about this word holy. We have a lot of those, and maybe you're like, what's with this? All these songs that talk about the holiness of God. And but God has been taking me on a journey personally of understanding more and more of what that word means. And he's been pressing on my heart that if in Revelation there's this song going on for all of eternity with these creatures flying around the throne singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and it goes on and on and on, then shouldn't we be singing the same thing? And so so I'm grateful that God has been speaking that to me, and hopefully it's something that we can all learn together of what does the holiness of God mean, and how can we express that to God? And, but as long as we're rooted in Scripture, yeah, and it's theologically sound, that's so, so important.
Yeah, and I could commend Kyle and just testify of his obedience to the Spirit. I know he spends a lot of time praying about what we sing each week. He convenes with Mike. He looks at the Scriptures we're going to be studying, and he just prays. And on a Sunday morning, our songs ought to lead us, in my opinion, to four things. One is to praising the character of who God is. Yeah. Two is to retelling the gospel to ourselves, because we all need to be reminded of that gospel truth every single day. Three, it ought to bring us to confession and our deep need for him. And then four, it ought to bring us to gratitude and remembrance. Mm-hmm. And Kyle does a great job of aiming our confession, our gratitude, our retelling, and the character of God, aiming us to that that ultimate end. And it's amazing to me, because I know how prayerful he is, and it's to actually kind of look and listen. What's the theme that the Spirit has woven through Kyle through our worship on a Sunday? Mm-hmm. You can find it. Like, there are weeks where you're like, oh man, well, this is about the name of God. And like, all the songs somehow are about God's names and who God is. And it's like, Kyle, did you notice that there was this anthem going through our songs? He's like, no, I didn't notice. But the Spirit led him to that, which led us to that as a group. Mm-hmm. And so it's been neat to see how Kyle is very submitted to the Spirit when he's doing those selections. And then as to the family element, yeah, of your question, about 3 or 4 years ago, we started bringing our boys in here, honestly, because we had to, because of COVID. And it's been something that for them, we're hoping that they're seeing and watching and observing. I even asked them, you know, how do we as your parents teach you that singing and worshiping God is important? And their answers, you know, made me feel like I was getting an A+, honestly. But one of them was, we read the Psalms together.
That's good.
One of them was, they honestly said, you make us stand up. And that's not to say categorically you need to stand when you worship, because sometimes kneeling is the right posture. Sometimes sitting is the right posture. But if you ask them further, they would explain, because God is worth it. He's worth the respect and the reverence of standing. And then just in general, we explain the lyrics. There was, over Good Friday weekend, we were home on Friday, and we spent a long time talking about Jesus' road to the cross. Well, then when we showed up to that service on Friday night, you could see their little hearts going, oh, we talked about that today. It's like, we did. And so just bringing them along, coaching them in the process. Sometimes we have to explain lyrics, like, don't be embarrassed, Jacob, okay? When he was little and we heard the song,
From Foundation?
No, the other one, Man of Sorrows. The singer kind of slurs his words together, and it says, like, scent of heaven, God's own, no. Silent as he stood accused, and Jakin thought he said, beaten, baw, and scorned. And he's like, Mom, what's beaten, baw? And I was like, well, where do you hear that? And he said it was in the song. And I went, oh, it's supposed to be beaten, mocked, and scorned. And he goes, well, that makes a lot more sense. It does, doesn't it? So sometimes we just don't hear it right. And so as a parent, I just want to explain what it means, where you find it in Scripture, and bring them along in the process. Now, I ask them also, are you ready to raise your hands and worship? And they're like, no. I'm like, that's okay. That's not required. We all come from, we're a melting pot of churches. Honestly, I think we could probably name about 17 different denominations in here that we all grew up in. And we come together in a non-denominational place, and our worship looks different from one another, and some of those are preferences. But yeah, anyway, I'm kind of derailing.
No, it's funny. Sometimes you see my daughter hanging out with me on a Sunday morning, and I ask her, hey, you know, what did you know when you sat in here, did you learn anything from what your dad said? She's like, I remember there was a bus one time, and that's all she remembered. but she learns, she's singing these songs about 1,000 names, and it's getting in her heart. And that's what song and singing does. It gets down in our hearts, and it forms us. And so there's what we sing, who we're singing to, it all forms us towards something. And that's why we sing towards the good news of the gospel, standing on his word. And we will do that every single week. And so we are just about time, but some final thoughts. If you had, I said 30 seconds first service, and Kyle, you took like 4 minutes.
I know.
I'm kidding. Adrienne, if they could walk away with one thing that they can chew on this week, from your perspective, what would it be?
I said in first service, and I would say the same thought, is that posture makes it personal. And I kind of started to dip into that, but we all come from so many different places, and the way that we worship looks different, okay? Some of you might be comfortable here, and some of you are absolutely not comfortable here, and that is okay, but our heart ought to be submitted. And so we walk in on a Sunday morning, and maybe we're distracted with, I smell someone's perfume, or how am I going to pay that bill, or I just got in a fight, and I snapped at my kids before I walked in. We have all these thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. And if we could just take the simple posture of taking our hands from here to just putting them by our side and maybe even turning your palm out, that simple act of making your body engage worship draws your brain in. Mm. And then from there, you might find yourself, maybe even you're here or wherever, whatever you feel comfortable with. But that heart submission sometimes starts with the discipline of opening your hands. And so I would encourage you as you leave here to think about what is your posture in worship and how it reflects your heart submission to the Lord.
So good. So good. Kyle, what are your thoughts? 4 minutes.
No, okay. Oh, I can hit that. I want to share two things that go hand in hand. I think the most important thing that I could say when it comes to worshiping God, especially through like singing and music, is we do not worship God based on our feelings. Mm-hmm. We solely base how we engage in worship with God on who he is.
So good.
Him alone. What he's worthy of. And I think often, me included, I'll be the first to admit it, determine my level of worship based on how I feel instead of how great God is. And the other thing I would say is I want us to be a place and a people, God desires this most of all, that we would be authentic, just a people who are real. I think we can either come way over here on the pendulum and be so like calloused and not willing to be vulnerable in any kind of way with our expression of emotion and worship to the Lord and with each other. But we could go the opposite side and just like play the part and go through the motions. And that's not what God desires either, but that we would be people who are authentic. And so just pointing us right back to Scripture. David wrote most of the Psalms, and he was so authentic. When he was down in the dumps, he expressed it, but he expressed it in worship. He let God know. These prayers of lament and sorrow that he would pour out to God. Then when he was joyful, oh my gosh. Like he talks about dancing for joy and shouting at the top of his lungs because God is great. And I feel like we as a people are like scared of this, scared of that. So we just kind of hang out in the safe zone and what's comfortable. But I want to challenge us to be people who are authentic, basing our worship on who God is and letting that determine.
That's awesome.
How we praise him.
Well, that concludes our time together. And just so thankful for you both, again, just for sharing your hearts. But again, like I said, they just have hearts who love to adore this great God and lead us in that. And so we're going to be turning to singing in a minute. But Adrienne, can you just close us in prayer? And we'll turn our hearts to sing.
Heavenly Father, you are good. You are the King of creation. You are Lord of Lords. You are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You are the conquering King, the victorious one, the author and perfecter of our faith. You are all of these things, Father. And every title is yours because you are the great I am. And so when we come in here on a Sunday, Father, we unify together to lift who you are. And in the process, God, you lift us up with you. So I pray as we continue in song that you would be enthroned on your praises and that you would lift our spirits in adoration to you because you're worth it. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.